Have you ever been asked to fill a position that's far outside your comfort zone? Maybe it's a promotion at work, perhaps a new assignment at church. Truth be told, when the request is made, you feel your knees beginning to knock. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a message from Exodus chapter 3, in which he describes God's audible conversation with Moses. God's voice came from, of all places, a burning bush. And instantly, Moses conveyed his personal insecurities. Let's pick up the study now in Exodus chapter 3.
I think the most important word in the fourth verse is the first one. It is a word of timing. When? When did God speak to Moses? When he turned aside. Now that's simple, isn't it? But it's hard to get us to do that. It was when Moses turned aside that God spoke. At this moment, God has not introduced himself, but a voice came out of that bush, and it simply called Moses' name. That's the first thing that happened. So he's just simple enough to believe when a voice comes across that God means, or someone means, you're supposed to answer, present. You know, that's all God wanted to hear. That's all he wants to hear from you when he speaks. He's not impressed with you. He's impressed with your availability. He's looking for bushes, as it were, to ignite. And this bush was a perfect illustration of what God wanted to do with Moses. And so Moses said, "Here am I, behold me." He was available. And then God said, verse 5, look at the when, verse 4, then, verse 5, they connect. After he said, present, that voice came across, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is Kadesh." The Hebrew word means holy, withdrawal or separated. Moses, I want you to separate yourself from all of your past. I want you to remove from your mind your immediate responsibility. I want you to listen only to what I am saying right now. Separate yourself from every human thing. Draw an imaginary perimeter around you and stand still, Moses. You know, I have read this all of my life and never saw until I made a real study recently that it wasn't the bush that was holy, it was the place where Moses was standing that was holy. You ever notice that? All our lives we teach it's the bush that's holy. Obviously it is, because God is there. But God said to Moses, don't come any closer. So he wasn't really right on top of that bush. Stay right there. Now, Moses, where you're standing is holy. Not where I'm burning, but where you're standing. Take your shoes off. Why? Now, if Moses' sandals are dirty, his feet are dirty too, aren't they? Is that too coarse a thing to mention right now? If you wear sandals and you walk in the sand and the dirt of the desert, you don't have clean feet. Why is he supposed to take his sandals off if his feet, like his sandals, are dirty? I don't know. I wish I had some tremendous spiritual insight right now, because I know you're waiting with bated breath, but I don't know. But I bring up those curious things just to make you lay awake at night and think about it. Well, of course, it was a custom. We know that it was in the Eastern world. It is today. When you visit an Oriental home, you don't walk in with your clodhoppers on. You leave your shoes at the door, and you walk in either in your stocking feet or bare feet. I did that all the time I was in the Orient. It's crude to walk in with shoes on, but it's more than a custom here, because Moses isn't in a home. He's outside. But you see, apparently, God saw this moment so holy, he wanted to touch Moses and let there be nothing between himself and his servant. Kick your sandals off, Moses. stand on the hot ground. So he did. Apparently he did. We're never told that he did. But when he did, God said back in verse 6, I am the God of men with broken pinions. Look at the list. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We always feel like they're superstars when we read those names, but if you ever do a study on their lives, you'll find that they're people just like you are. Only difference, their names are in the Bible. They were men with broken pinions, and God says, now Moses, I'm the God of men who have failed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. At that moment, Moses knew who was speaking, and so he answered in silence. It says he was afraid to look at God. He hid his face. What do you think went through Moses' mind? Well, remember now, he's burned his bridges in the past. I knew before the night was over I'd foul that up. Moses had already tried to forget his past, and 40 years had helped a lot. The sands of time had etched it away from his memory, but suddenly it came back upon him. God said, here I am, Moses. And Moses, when he thought of standing before the God that had spoken to him in the Egyptian palace, saying to deliver his people, and he had rushed ahead, was all of a sudden overwhelmed with that sense of guilt all over again. He hid his face. Oh, no, he felt so humiliated, so unprepared, so unworthy, so bushy, if you please. But that's precisely the way God wanted him. And so the Lord did not even hesitate in revealing to him his involvement. Now, some of you are in situations that seem terribly, terribly unfair and harsh and hard to handle, even savage. There are some aches in hearts in this congregation, I am convinced, that would break many a heart here tonight. This many people cannot get together from this kind of world in this kind of California pace without there being some deep needs. Now you're feeling, is God really aware of my situation? Look at some verses. Look at some words from these verses. Now get your pencil ready. Verse 7. I have surely seen, mark that, the affliction of my people. Verse 7 concludes, I am aware of their sufferings. I have seen. I am aware. Verse 8, I have come down. I've got a plan, Moses. They're hurting, and I've come to help them. Verse 9, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. I've seen them weeping at night. I've seen them dead alongside the road and flung into the Nile like beasts of burden. I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. God knows right down to the final nubby exactly where you are. He sees it, he knows it, and he is touched by it. The enemy of our souls would want you to think, oh, God doesn't care. He's left you in this mess for so many months. What an iniquity. Those at work, those around you, those living nearby live like the devil and they're making it fine. And here you haven't even a job. What kind of a God is that? Or some young mother-to-be already with a family full says to the Lord, my situation is more than I can bear. And God comes back and says, oh, I know what I'm doing. I know the pain of your heart right now. I know you feel overwhelmed, overloaded. But believe me, I'm touched with the situation. However, I've got a plan in which you are going to be involved. I know the need, and I'm here to tell you how to meet it. Now remember, Moses is listening in a neutral state. He doesn't have the most extreme idea that he is going to be the deliverer. You see, the problem with us is we know the story. Moses has never read Exodus at this time, okay? He's just there in the desert with the bush burning and a voice is coming out of it that sounds spooky. And the voice says, I know what's going on down in Egypt. And Moses, yes, yes, just like you. ripping every nail off your finger, you know, just standing there wondering what's going to happen next. Till all of a sudden, verse 10, and he cannot believe it. Therefore, you come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. I want to tie that call in to what we have heard tonight. Moses, 40 years ago, you were all impressed with your foliage. And when your bush started burning, it burned up in 24 hours, 36, 48 at the most. You blew it in less than 2 days. And you ran like a scared rabbit outside of Egypt to get away from that lynching crowd ready to take your life. That's back when you were very impressed with your bush, Moses. Listen, man. Any bush will do as long as God is in the bush. I want to use you. I want to set you afire. Well, what does it take to qualify as a bush? Well, you got to be thorny. Well, I qualify. You got to be dirty. That's me. You got to be ordinary. That's me. Got to be available and burnable. God's looking for flammable bushes. Many are beautiful replicas of bushes, but they're asbestos. You see, you couldn't set them afire with a torch. Napalm bomb wouldn't set them afire. Beautiful replicas of beautiful plants, but they're fake. You can't burn them. Any old bush will do as long as God is in the bush. That's what he's saying to Moses. I want to set your bush afire, Moses. The howling wasteland of this desert, I have dried you out, and I want you dried out. I have ripped and scraped and pulled from you all of the things that you used to hang on to, so that you have been reduced to nothing but love for me. That's all you have to offer, and that's all I want. And at that point, we wish Moses would have said, here I am, but will you look? And it's next week's message, so just let me say one word on verse 11. Moses said to God, not here I am, but who am I? You got the wrong fella. Remember me, I'm a loser. Broken pinion. Remember me? Failure city. That's my past. I can't do it. I know you can't. I'm broken. That's why I want you. I'm failed. That's why you qualify. You available? Yes. If I put fire to you, will you burn? Yes. Then you're my man. I want to share with you three responses to God's will that I've never read anywhere else. I hope it was God that gave these to me this past week when I thought through the matter of responding to God. The three mistakes most often found among us who are the bushes are these. Number one, those who run before they are sent. Moses did that 40 years ago. God hadn't sent him yet, but he ran ahead. That is the problem caused by intensity. Intensity causes us to run ahead before we're sent. Some of you are just chafing at the bit in school, chafing at the bit in seminary, just panting like crazy, ready to run. God says, wait, I haven't sent you yet. I've got to tool you up. And then when we run before we're sent, we fail. So second response is those who retreat after they have failed. You ever done that? Just fail royally and try to find the very smallest mouse hole you can find to get in and to retreat. That's the problem caused by insecurity. You see, whoever said you've got to succeed in everything you do? We've gone over that time and again. And so intensity causes us to run before we are sent. Insecurity causes us to retreat when we have failed. We haven't met our standard. And so that brings about, third, those who resist when they are called. That's brought about by inferiority, and that's not the same as humility. Moses wasn't simply humble, he was inferior, and that borders onto a neurosis. With some people, it is. There are some of you who have been called, but you're resisting because you feel inferior. And God, all He asks is that you be available and burnable, flammable, not spectacular. As a matter of fact, broken. I believe, frankly, that because of this misunderstanding in the call of God, there are many who have not yet responded positively to God's voice, waiting for some curious sign or some chrome-plated, blazing, mystical whatever, rather than just saying, God, I'm yours, thorns and all. Just set me afire. It's like Amy Carmichael closes that piece, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Clods don't burn. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Fuel burns. The name Vanita Schlopfeld means nothing to most of you tonight. But to God, this name represents a very important person who at one time in her life felt like just an ordinary, forgotten bush. Vanita Schlopfeld is confined to a wheelchair, paralyzed from her neck down. She is also the wife of a godly man who is serving the Lord in Caracas, Venezuela. Her husband's name is Larry. Larry and Vanita began their marriage together with strong wills, desirous of doing God's will pretty much their way. And by their own testimony, which they have shared with me, they didn't state it that way, but that was basically the way they felt. Through a series of events in their early marriage, they finally came to be together with one of their parents in the same car on their way to a destination which the car never made. It ran head-on into another car. Vanita was thrown from the back seat, and her back was broken at the neck. Spinal cord broken, she was unable to move a muscle from the neck down. Through a series of operations and analysis, several competent physicians told Larry, you will have to live with the fact that your wife will be in a chair all her life. She will never be able to bear children. And frankly, you must care for her as you would for a child. To this day, when she gets in the car, she is lifted by Larry from the chair into the car. The chair is folded up and put in the trunk. When she gets ready to go to bed at night, he lifts her from the chair and puts her in the bed. When she gets up in the morning, he lifts her and puts her in the chair. They are engaged in a bookstore ministry in Caracas, faithfully sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. Because Larry, who worked through perhaps the most difficult decision any husband would have to handle, they are effective tools for Christ today. Larry told me that as a result of the ministry of the Navigators and a few close personal friends who loved him out of bitterness and the barrenness of resentment He came to love this bride like he could not love anyone on earth, so that today they have to be, in my mind, some of the most sterling examples of burning bushes alive on this earth. She's carrying their third child. And in the process of these past number of years, God led them through contact with the Evangelical Free Church of America missions to serve their Lord in this capacity. As far as I am able to tell, Larry is free in his conscience of all bitterness, all rancor, all resentment. And to every husband here tonight, I say to you, meditate on his plight. Larry came to the Lord, as did Vanita, one day and said, or perhaps over a series of events, "Lord, we are available, thorns and all. We are bushes. We wish to be burnt up for your glory." Let me say that if Vanita Schlopfeld can be used effectively for Jesus Christ, and she is, so can you. Some of you are in desperate need of rearranging your whole set of priorities, your whole thrust of a career, because God wants you in His service. That's not the only place to serve, but let's talk about that as I close. God wants some of you in His ministry, thorns and all. Now, the bushes are burning, and you're not reading the signs, some of you. For others of you, you're running because you don't want to be interrupted from your pursuit. All your life, you planned on being such and such. Who's calling the shots? It was a great day in Vanita's life when she said, "Lord God, paralyzed and all, I want to be your bush for your glory." And you know, God took her up on it. Larry tells me, you can't imagine the ministry that woman has as she wheels around that bookstore and wheels around different places in Caracas, speaking fluent Spanish and leading people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Instead of living in some hospital filled with self-pity, pining away her life, contemplating suicide. That's the other option. Would you bow your heads, please? Tonight it may very well be that God has spoken to your heart regarding His service. Now, you need not feel you must be perfect. Remember, the theme of the evening is bushes are thorny and dry and pretty ugly, but they're available and they're flammable. Our Father, there is within a number of us a great sense of urgency that God has spoken, and we realize that this is the single most important voice to which we can respond. It's worth any amount of time to confirm what God is saying. Now, Lord, I pray that you will use the message as it is shared through lives to touch hearts that are right now just treading water, passing time, burning bridges, missing the bushes.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a timeless message from Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll. Chuck titled today's presentation, "Burning Bushes and Second Chances." If you're ready to learn more about the life of Moses, we invite you to encounter the Bible on your own. Insight for Living believes that sometimes your best times reflecting on the Bible are apart from this program, when you get a quiet moment to yourself. It's just you and your Bible, and maybe a cup of coffee or tea as well. To ignite your imagination and help you dig deeper on your own, Chuck asked his creative team to help him produce what we call our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies. It's a workbook or journal of sorts that's spiral-bound and lays flat on your table or your lap. And in this Bible study workbook for Moses, you're invited to follow the same method that Chuck uses for preparing his sermons. We'd love to send you the Searching the Scriptures Bible Study Workbook on Moses. To purchase a copy right now, go to insight.org/workbooks or call us at 800-772-8888. Let me close with a question. Have you ever found yourself at odds with an adult son or daughter? Or perhaps someone in your family has become antagonistic? Well, Chuck and his wife Cynthia wrote a powerful booklet called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. In this brand new resource, Chuck offers the biblical keys to asking and offering forgiveness. And Cynthia tells the heartrending story of battling depression and discovering how biblical forgiveness provided a road to recovery. We'd love to send you a copy of the booklet, Finding Healing Through Forgiveness, when you make a donation sent to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Or you can call us at 800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate. Ever feel underqualified for a God-given assignment? I'm Bill Meyer, urging you to hear Chuck Swindoll's message tomorrow here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Burning Bushes and Second Chances, was copyrighted in 1975, 1978, 1981, 1985, 1998, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.